Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. Welcome back, listeners, to the international podcast of Three Men for Thee in the Realms of Politics, Prophecies, and the Supernatural. And we are so excited and blessed today to have with us Jesse Connors, the founder of TrueLife.org. And my meeting, Jesse, was in a kind of unusual situation. It was at a memorial service for Big Stu Epperson in Winston-Salem. And our paths crossed, and one of my good friends who wrote a book called Give Him Jesus, Fred Hagee, introduced me to you, Jesse, and I asked if we could have you on our podcast one day, and you agreed, not knowing what you were going to get in for, but you're here now, so thank you. And Jack's going to start us off with the first questions, and we're ready to rock and roll.
Well, okay, brother. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, Jesse, and thank you so much for taking time out of your day to be with us.
Happy to do it. Thank you for having me.
One thing that we love, I love, our listeners love, is to hear how Christ reach out to folks all around the world. It's amazing to me how he works to bring people to himself. So whenever we interview a believer, we like to ask them right off the bat, how was it that you came to Christ?
So that's a great question. My mom and dad came to Christ at the college age. And so my mom was in nursing school at Old Dominion University. My dad was in the Navy, and my dad was given a track by someone on a pier, just walked right by him and gave my dad a track. And my dad opened it up. It was This Is Your Life Now track, right? I don't know if you guys remember that one. That was an old one. It's pretty good. I love that track still. And my dad got that track, and he read it, and suddenly his life made sense. He grew up in a very distraught home with his father kidnapping him, and he had just a very, very, the first memory my dad had as a child was his mom bleeding on the floor. My grandpa came home very crazy from the war, World War II. So he was one of the best snipers in the entire country. That's what we've been told, but he did come back from that wounded mentally. So my dad got on his knees on that pier. No one else was looking at him, but he started weeping. And if it wasn't for that being handed to him by somebody he doesn't even know, our family would not be here today. My mother was invited to church by a woman that she was working with at the Old Dominion cafeteria. She was working in the cafeteria, helping with checking people in. And she went and found the Lord. My grandma and grandpa on her side, they ran, I think, two different bars. And so my mom lived on top of one, and they were a Catholic family. A lot of good. It wasn't as bad as my dad's side, but still, obviously, just not the Christian environment that I had growing up. So when my mom and dad met each other at a Bible study, my mom saw my dad, and my dad saw my mom, and both instantly knew this was the one for them. And my mom made the first move and took red velvet cake and gave him a piece of it and started talking. And to this day, almost 50 years of marriage, they celebrate every anniversary with red velvet cake.
That's a wonderful story. You got to watch out for women with red velvet cake in their hands, right?
You never know. That's right. It could be a sign, but that's really where it comes down to. Like, yes, I had a great life with my mom and dad. It wasn't easy all the time, but it certainly was easier than what they had. My mom and dad read as many books as they could about raising a Christian family, and they implemented that. Like James Dobson's writings really impacted our family. And so I have two sisters and myself, we all became Christians at a young age. So we're first generation on that level, or second generation, I guess you could say, is what you could call us. But for me, like having my dad be handed a track and knowing that changed our family's life, that really set me on this trajectory. You know, I don't think I really understood the depth of it even until later on in my adult life, but just the thought that someone, a stranger, gave my dad something and it changed his life, man, that makes a big difference for me personally. And I know that's the same for other people as well. That is definitely an act of God. And some people are very weary of talking to strangers. And unfortunately, we have to compare that to the reflection of Christ on us. But we're disciples of Christ, we're supposed to reflect Christ. Well, Christ talked to strangers all the time. The woman at the well, Zacchaeus in the tree, the men holding the fishing nets saying, come follow me. And of course, you have the tax collector. It on and on and on it goes. Jesus talked to strangers all the time, and Satan doesn't want us to. And that's why we have this battle about who is supposed to be talked to and who isn't.
Did you grow up in the Lynchburg area?
The Lynchburg area is actually my home now, but I grew up in California, and I actually was there until I was 17. And then I moved over here to the Virginia area and went to school. What happened in California was really instrumental. My dad and I were on a motorcycle climbing up one of the mountains that was actually in our family. And a long story there, but we were climbing up one of these very big mountains, and we were looking out over the Bay Area. And dad and I, that was one of my first major memories besides me accepting the Lord when I was six. So when I was seven, we were up on top of that mountain, and we both were praying that God would use us to change the world, to help start a revival. And then that prayer seemed answered already when we prayed it. And then that started me on this journey of, well, how are we going to start a revival? How is it going to happen? And it just began to interlace my life. Like I'm always looking for ways to start a revival, How do you do that? And it's kind of like a Rubik's Cube called revival, you know, trying to make it all look the way it needs to. And so it's been a very long journey to try to figure that out. But that stayed with me when I was in Virginia. That's actually when I learned about Liberty University and learned about Jerry Falwell Sr. And I wanted to work with Jerry Falwell Sr. After all, he had a mountaintop experience of his own. He walked over every square inch of the what's called Liberty Mountain today. And all those buildings are there right where he walked on top of it. And there's like, I don't know, 16,000 on-campus students and like 110,000 online students. And God's richly blessed. And I actually got to work with Jerry Falwell Sr. as a spokesman for Liberty University it was like 2 to 3 years. I was the spokesman for Liberty, talking to people about Liberty as at a table. And then I get advanced as talking in front of 10,000, 15,000, 60,000 people about Liberty. And, that was when, I finally had the answer to that moment when I was with my dad on top of that mountain. I had that answer of what I was supposed to do to help start a revival.
So you're talking to football stadiums of people.
Yes, I was. Yep. And I was up there, you know, prior to that big one that's called Creation Fest in Agape Farms, Pennsylvania. There were 75,000 people there at one time. There's helicopter footages of all those people and all that. And I'm putting together this documentary of how everything happened. So that footage is going to be in there. But basically, what what moved into this this time was that I still had that wonder in my heart, like, what am I supposed to do to start the revival? And I wanted to be around Jerry Falwell because, of course, God was using him. You know, I didn't want to do what he was doing, but I wanted to be able to hear from God the way he was hearing from him, because I had the missing pieces. And so there was a time that right before that big event with 60,000 people, 75,000 people, whatever was there, he was calling to make sure that I was okay, that I was, for those of you that don't know, for those of you who do not know, Jerry Falwell Sr. is the founder of Liberty University. He is the president founder of Liberty University, and also the senior pastor of Thomas Road Baptist Church. And so being around a spiritual giant was so important to me, because I knew that he wouldn't give himself the term giant. He would give God, hey, I want God to be a giant in my life. And I think that's the goal for all of us, is to say, hey, I want God to be the giant in my life. And then all of a sudden, when you start to be perceived as a giant by man, you better make sure that your heart's right, and you realize that that giant is because Jesus is shining through you, and yeah, he's the giant.
Let me build on this a little bit, because I've had an opportunity to teach leadership classes in Ukraine to business people. And when I look at the leaders that you've been exposed to, we're talking Farwell, Danny Akins, George, President Bush. We're talking about Brent Hume, Bill O'Reilly, congressional leaders. What are you pulling, or what do you see of importance from Christian leaders that you've been exposed to? And what should we tell others about being a Christian leader?
Well, I think the main point about being a Christian leader is to have Christ lead you. Man's going to disappoint you. You know, when you look at my time, so basically I was speaking in front of those people, and that's when the idea of True Life came, after I was done with that major event. So finally I had that, but then I was invited to be a White House intern. So I became a White House intern with George W. Bush. I was around a lot of movers and shakers. And also I was invited to come work at Fox News. And so I did that. I worked with Brett Hume, Greta Van Susteren, Bill O'Reilly, and many others. The next phase of my life was working with Jim Ryan, who is a famous Olympian runner, a silver medalist. And then I was brought to seminary, which is where I met Danny Akin. Just the way that God moved through that is amazing. And I don't have time to go into all of that. I know we don't have time with that. But if anyone ever wants to know more about it, you know, my bio is on truelife.org, so you can read it. So basically what has happened with where I was at was, like, there's a lot of people in public policy that really are good at public policy, but there are very few people. Sorry about that. There are very few people that actually are concerned about evangelism, you know, making the Great Commission great again. That is really what is our major priority. The last command should be our first priority, right? What's the first thing God's going to ask us when we get to heaven? Is what do we do with our talents? And our talents is, what do we do with the gospel? What do we do with the investment of the gospel in our life? Do we hold it back? Do we invest it? And so we have been able, you know, at truelife.org and all the other initiatives, that's been our central focus, is to try to get evangelism to be the main priority. But we're working against an onslaught of apathy. In fact, less than 1% of Christians regularly evangelize. Less than 1% of Christians want to talk to a stranger, even though Jesus did all the time. And even though we have statistics like this, this is last year, 2022, Lifeway research, that 73% of unbelievers are willing to talk to a stranger about Jesus, but less than 1% of Christians are willing to talk to a stranger. So you can see the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. And then this whole time, there's this structure in our churches that we're fighting against. And we have to highlight it, because it's very important in the last days, which I believe we are in the last days. Anybody believe that over here? Everybody? Last days? We are? Okay. Then in Revelations 3, and in other places in the Bible, we see the lukewarm church mentioned, the Laodicea church. And it actually says why they're lukewarm. You guys ready for this? They're lukewarm because they're in love with their money, and they put them, they put themselves in charge. Well, I will say this like this: they put leaders in charge of them that tickle their ears. So when you say tickle your ears, you're not hearing from the pastor saying people around you are dying and going to hell, and you need to share the gospel with them. That's your responsibility. Did you do that this week? That's not tickling your ears. That's being real with you. So if your pastor isn't saying that to you, you can ask him, why are you tickling my ears? Why are you not being real with me? Like, my responsibility is to go out and seek and save that which is lost. How beautiful are the feet that bring good news? Evangelism Boot Camp is an easy evangelism training course that's for free on sharethetruthnow.com. You can check that out. But it talks about how you can't be an effective soldier in God's army if you don't have your shoes on. What soldier without shoes would be effective? You know, the shoes and the gospel of peace are what the shoes are called for the spiritual armor in Ephesians 6. So you can see there's this battle, right? We have this battle between it's not my responsibility to tell somebody, they're going to know anyway, versus what God is saying. He's saying to seek and save that which is lost, and to go therefore into all the world. And how are they going to know unless if someone tells them? On and on and on and on. We have to be swayed by Christ, not by what we are being taught in the Laodicea church.
Absolutely. Well, I understand that you've done your, at least, I don't know if your undergraduate or your graduate work has been in apologetics, but my heart is in that. And my undergraduate is in Bible, and I majored in Bible and in elementary education, but my graduate work was done in apologetics. Ever since I read the book by Josh McDowell, in fact, of all his books, but his first book it was published in 73 or 74, but I first read it in 75, and it's The Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Mm-hmm. So obviously somewhere the Lord touched your heart as well in this field. Can you expound on that for us?
Absolutely. When I was on that field in front of all those people, that's when the Lord told me that these people are having a mountaintop experience, but then they're going to go back home. They'll be asked questions they don't know the answers to, and then they're going to falter in the faith. And I want you to put video answers to life's hard questions online so people can easily access them. So this was, 17 years after that mountaintop experience with my dad, I finally started to hear God tell me a specific thing for me to do. This is before YouTube. This is before internet had video. Internet was here, but internet didn't have video. But I was being told to put video up online. It's fascinating. And then I started weeping. I was weeping. This is after I was done. You think I'd be happy because all the stress of me talking in front of all those people, you know, was over. So I'm going to start crying. It was really just the fact that these people are going back home. They'll be asked questions they don't know the answers to because their pastors are not training them, because the pastors weren't told to train them. And then you have this, obviously you guys have looked at the statistics, but for those of you who don't know, we're losing like 75% of our, even higher than that, of our Christian taught students. And the reason why is because we didn't embed apologetics into them. We embedded scripture, but we didn't embed why scripture. We didn't embed why is this the word of God. And there's actually some very, very simple things that can be taught to you even right now that are watching. And I'm going to go into that right now, just not right now, but in a minute, where we can talk about how we can have these short, pithy things that we can remember, and then it will allow us to actually be so effective when we're talking to basically anybody. So let me circle back though to the fact that we have this ability when we're hearing from God and seeing this vision from God to know that it's God. God's given that to us. So that was one of those pivotal moments in my life where I was like, okay, that's what I'm supposed to do. And so and I began moving on it, and the dream never left me. And the way to make it and the way to help orchestrate it was always a part of me, even when I was in DC, because MIDC experience, I wanted to go and learn what to do, how to manage, what to like, how to set up studios, stuff like that. So you can see even behind me with a studio setup, I set up all this myself. I already knew basically how to do a lot of it. So it everything kind of culminates into what God wants you to be. You know, later on, I'm now 44. So you can just start to see this culmination of what you might have thought in the past didn't make sense, but then you can see God just bring it together later on in life. And I think the ultimate picture of that's when we die, we're going to see what God did, because we see through the glass very dimly right now.
But well, I was going to say, you answered one of our questions, because we were wondering how old you were. So you've already told us how old you are now. But for our listeners, when you go to the True Life website, truelife.org, if you have questions about things, it's unbelievable. I was looking, there's 38 topical areas that questions have been answered about. I mean, questions about God, Bible, church, Jesus, depression, evolution, heaven, hell, philosophy. It goes on and on. So, you know, any questions you have regarding your religion or somebody else's religion, there's answers on this website for those. It's amazing, Jesse, that you've been able to actually create a Bible course, a seminar on your website.
What's even more amazing, I would say, is that God helped me have this foreknowledge of what to do with the videos. We never made them for a Christian to watch. We made them for unbelievers to watch. And that was the goal. And then in turn, the believers can watch them and learn. And that's why when you go onto the Mormonism video or the Jehovah's Witness video or the Islam video, you find out that it's built for a Muslim to watch. It's built for the Mormon to watch. It's built for the Jehovah's Witness to watch. How so? Well, you actually learn at the end of these films that the people in them are actually converted from that information they just got done sharing. And this information is built in a way that is very History Channel quality level. And you'll see narrators and experts, but then you learn at the end that all those people, narrators and experts, they're all believers. So now, but they've transitioned from that other faith. So it's just it's really great to provide that emotional and intellectual synergy to help people convert, because obviously I'm not a Mormon, but if I was a Mormon talking, you know, a converted Mormon talking to another Mormon, I think I'd have more leverage. So we provide that on the site. We give that leverage. And it was really, the goal was always like, if I was a Mormon, what would I need to watch if I was a Mormon? You know, what would I need to watch if I was a Muslim? And so that's kind of how the website was born. TrueLife.org is built in that way.
Well, there's another interesting story about True Life. You know, God works in miraculous ways. So share with our listeners how you were able to get that name, True Life.
Oh, wow. So I was looking for the right name, and I was praying for it. It was January the 19th, 2004. I thought of the name True Life, and I said, find out what True Life is. It's in my journal. It's upstairs. And I was praying that God let that website be for free. Well, I went to truelife.org, and it was taken by a real estate domain company. And so they actually heard what I wanted to do with it. And they said, well, we were praying that God would let something like this happen with this website. And they were Catholic. And despite knowing that I was a Protestant, and I'd likely say some things that they wouldn't agree with, they gave it to me for $999. So I bought it at my parents' house, and then I started running up and down the stairs over and over again, screaming, praise God, with my hands up. It was like so big. And my mom and dad wondered what happened. So I ended up telling them after I ran up and down a few times, but it was a monumental moment. And I knew God gave it to me. That's why I was running up and down the stairs. I'm like, and then I knew that more was going to come from it, that people would be saved from it, and that a revival would start from it. And that's, we haven't gotten to that part yet. But before I forget, I did mention a little bit earlier, what are some of those key elements for apologetics that you can know? And so I wanted just to say that very quickly before I forget it. So number one, every other faith teaches that you have to earn your way to God, but in Christianity, God comes down to you. Got it? You can rewind that if you need it. Number two, you can know what the Bible is in our hands, and you can know that it's the word of God today and it's trustworthy because during the first century, this is just the New Testament, and there's Old Testament stuff too, you can go to our site to find out, but just for the New Testament, in the first century, the manuscripts were found from the first century period in Asia, Africa, and Europe. So it spread through the Romans Road. And these are thousands and thousands of fragments that actually match. So it would have been impossible for anyone to change it. So that's how we know that what we have today is the original. And we also have to emphasize that most every other book was written down by one person and it doesn't match archaeological data. But of course, the Bible does. The Bible had 40 different authors. Most of them never met each other over a period of 1600 years, and it still tells the same story. It matches with archaeological evidence perfectly. And we have this incredible book that talks psychologically to us. Who doesn't want to be loved unconditionally? That's the picture of true love. And you don't see that in the other faiths. And you don't see the archaeological data in the other faiths. You don't see the science in the other faiths. And so, and one other point when we talk about science is evolution. And people say that it takes more faith to be an evolutionist than it does to be a Christian. That's absolutely the truth. Absolutely. Hands down the truth. But we can get up in the weeds, right, of evolution. But if you just get down to the root, and this can work with any worldview, but if you just get down to the root is that there's not a single cell that's ever been witnessed to create new genetic information. So therefore, the building block of evolution is not there, never was there. But we had one builder of our bodies, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't thank God enough for his order and his complexity. I mean, if you take one strand of DNA out, you can stack books back and forth up into the moon and back, and they are full with information too. It's just, and then if one little letter is off on our DNA, then everything's messed up in our body. So it's a domino effect. So yes, we were fearfully and wonderfully made, just like Jeremiah said. And there is a great plan for everyone that's watching, because God would in no way create someone as complex and as beautiful as you without having a plan for your life. And that plan is for you to find God's unconditional love. And then after you do, to share it with others.
Wow, that's great. We appreciate you doing that and sharing that with us. We always pray that someone who has never heard the gospel is going to get a hold of our podcast. And if you've had a chance to go and look at any of our previous podcasts, you will know at the very end of each podcast, we walk a person right down the Romans Road so that they will hear a gospel presentation if they'll follow this all the way through. So,
and I want to hear that at the end. I can't wait for that point, but I want to give one quick, easy gospel presentation. That's less than 30 seconds. If that's all right.
Sure. Okay.
That's all part of apologetics. You can't do all the other stuff I just said without including a simple, easy, effective path for the gospel presentation, and all that's in here. So if you go to, it's forwarded by Josh McDowell. He says the easiest evangelism training he's ever seen. And that's on sharethetruthnow.com for free. We'll get into that in a minute. Here's the gospel presentation in a nutshell. Heaven is perfect. If we went up to heaven the way we are, we're imperfect. So we mess it all up. It's kind of like we'd be a drop of ink in a pure glass of water. So just imagine what that would look like. So God's like, I want to spend eternity with you. I love you. I created you. I want you to be my son. I want you to be my daughter. And I'm going to come down as Jesus Christ, and I'm going to live the perfect life for you. And I'm going to die on the cross, and I'm going to raise again. And then if you just believe in me, it's the foreshadowing of what we saw with Moses, where people looked at the serpent and they were healed and raised it up. But if you just believe in him, if you just believe in God, if you just believe in Jesus, then you become his son or daughter. And then guess what? You inherit his perfection. You inherit God's perfection because you're a son or daughter. Whenever you're adopted, you inherit whatever the riches are. And then when you get adopted by Jesus, you inherit his perfection. You inherit his grace. You inherit his mercy. His grace means God's riches at Christ's expense. That's from Adrian Rogers a while ago. And so the beauty then is that you can be reconciled with the Lord while we're here. You can experience heaven on earth with the Holy Spirit in your life. But then, of course, you can go to heaven. And that's why belief is so important. And then, of course, you want to follow up your belief with baptism. And that's a public profession of your faith. And God does want us to do that to help cement your faith, to help cement it and make it more public. That's going to help solidify you and give you the endurance you need to finish the race that God's called you to. Do you guys like that?
Yes. Absolutely.
It's fast. So, yep. So anyway, this is a great, already becoming a great video for the viewers to just erase and learn these little nuggets. So I'm glad to do it with you guys.
Amen.
Well, we appreciate you taking time with us today and sharing your leadership, your path that God has put you on. You've been a real blessing to us, and we know that your comments will be a blessing to others that hear this today. Jack, you have any closing comments?
No, just to say that this man is a man after my own heart. He, the love of apologetics, the love of the Word of God, the love of the lost, love of people, it shines right through, brother. We appreciate it.
I want to tell you before we go, it'll take me about 30. Where are we at on time right now?
You're good.
You're fine. Okay.
All right. This little box is the answer to prayer from that mountaintop experience with my dad when I was 7 years old. It took a long journey for us to get here because this is just maybe 6 months old. Stu Epperson, the creator of the Truth Network, called me one day and he's like, Jesse, why don't we do a True Life card and make the other card, the other side, one on one side. Why don't we make a True Life card where the True Life is on one side and then on the other side, it's for free if it's a Christian so they can order their cards for free. I was like, we just got out of COVID. We almost went bankrupt. You know, it was terrible. You guys are going to, I can go all day about that too, but God's faithfulness is amazing through it. And just he would strengthen us through that. But what happened was we went on the air and we got about 250 orders. And so we sent those orders out. They came in like little boxes like this. And then they had these little instruction cards on top of all the cards. Right. And there's an awesome training video that we put together. They scan this, and there's a 15-minute training video, and it goes through what to say. On the back of this card, there's a list of options on what to say to help people. And so basically it says, if someone hands you something first, say, and I also wanted to give you this. It's a website that proves Jesus loves you. Hey, I wanted to give you this back. It's a website that proves Jesus loves you. Simple. Watch this one. If you're led to talk to a stranger, say, I may never see you again. So I wanted to give you this. It's a website that proves Jesus loves you. Right. Number three, if someone is a Christian already, say, that's great. These cards are free. Please scan this QR code to get your free cards to pass out too. It's so easy. Right. Then we multiply this. And that's what's happening every day off of those cards. And then we have number four, if someone says no, pray your effort can help make their decision easier for Christ in the future. It does happen, but it's rare compared to how many actually take it. And it's always worth it to push through to the next person. And this, you have to remember, many times it can take 3, 4, 5 hits for someone to finally be ready. So this is part of that effort to spin that propeller. Now, with that said, these are all for free. You can get these right now. If you're in America and you're watching this, you need to be a part of what God's plan is for you. If you want to see miracles, start evangelizing and listening to this card. You're going to see people tell you, I was just praying that God would prove himself he was real and you gave me a card. That's just the beginning, the tip of the iceberg of how God's going to saturate you with his miracles. He's all over this. If you want to see miracles from God, start evangelizing. If you're missing, you know, something in your life, in your Christian life, start evangelizing. ShareTheTruthNow.com has these cards there for free. Just go to the order form and click on sharethetruthnow.com. If you believe in this and you believe this is something that God will want you to invest in, you can help pay this forward to other people. There's a donation box there. And GiveSendGo is a crowdfunding platform, and they are doubling all the donations that are coming in. So please consider giving to this important ministry. We are now printing millions of cards, and we are going to expect a revival, because there's this old saying that if you nail it, then you scale it. And so we already put out about 40,000 cards, and probably 25,000 of them in handing out, and we're getting orders every day. So can you imagine what happens if we put out a million, million, 5 million, 10 million, and we're in the process of making all that happen right now. So we are very quickly going to become a very effective revival tool. And the National Religious Broadcasters, they heard about us, and they have actually partnered with us as their evangelism arm. So we are going to be pushed significantly through them, through Liberty, through your awesome podcast as well, and through many others. I'm meeting with Danny Aiken next week. And just so if you're hearing this and you're like, why isn't this in my country yet? We're coming. Pray us over there. We're going to be there soon. We believe God has a great plan for this. And we also make cards for churches to hand out. Okay. So this is the church card. So your pastor can actually have something, you know, don't gather together God's farmers on Sunday without giving them seeds to sow with on Monday. Right. So that's kind of like our theme. So on the back of this card, you have truelife.org. And very soon we have the new cards coming out where this is on the side, where they can order their own cards for free if they're already a Christian and they want to order their own cards for free. So we combine that. So these actually are going to multiply as well. But this is the multiplication tool that I believe we've all been praying for as we wake up God's army. It's a sleeping giant to go off and do what God has called them to do. So please go to sharethetruthnow.com and be a part of what God is doing. Thank you, Herb, and thank you.
So Jesse, I will post the image of the card on this video.
Okay.
So that people can actually, you know, scan the video when they see it as well.
Cool.
And also, I meet with Stu every Wednesday at Wednesday in the Word at Dario. So we get these cards also at Dario's here in Winston-Salem. And I'm sure at the other Dario's in our community also. Such a blessing to have you with us today.
Thank you, brother.
My honor. God bless you guys. Thank you for your time.
Okay, listeners, be sure to tune in to hear this amazing podcast and look at the previous two that we just had with some amazing gospel music groups, John James and Tanya James. He was the lead singer for Best Boys. And then there's a gospel group out of Greensboro, the Reeds. They actually sang live on our podcast, and that was amazing too. So be sure to catch up on those as well. Again, Jesse, thank you for taking time today to share the word and how we can connect with Christ, not only for ourselves, but with others in the community.
So.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We all have to admit at some time, someplace, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us he was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Acts 16:31, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.